Hi, this is Wayne Moss. Join me this morning as I go off with Peter Robinen on WXNA LP 101.5 FM Nashville.
If there's one thing I love, it's not just a legend, it's a gracious legend. And Wayne Moss has consented to come back and finish up our interview, which ran over last week and got such great response. Thank you all for that. So today we'll try to cover the parts that we didn't get to last week, and there are many, many parts to this man's many faceted career. So stick with us. Good morning, Peter Rodman here, going off with you once again on WXNA LP 101.5 FM in Nashville. And here is another track Wayne Moss had a part in.
Little GTO, you really looking fine. This is at a 4-speed and a 389. Listen to her tacking up now. Listen to her whine. Come on and turn it on, wind it up, blow it out, GTO. Yeah. See her on a road course or a quarter mile. This little modified Peloton has got plenty of style. She beats the gassers and the rail jobs. Really drive them wide. Come on and turn it on, wind it up, blow it out, GTO. Yeah. Save all my money and buy a GTO. Get a helmet and a roll bar, and I'll be ready to go. Take it out to Pomona and let them know, yeah, yeah, that I'm the coolest thing around. Little buddy gonna shut you down when I turn it on, wind it up, blow it out, GTO.
We're back. Peter Rodman here, going off with you again on WXNA LP 101.5 FM Nashville. Our guest this morning is none other than Wayne Moss, and I want to say again, this is such an honor for me, so thank you in advance. I'm not going to let you go, though, not too quick.
It's a pleasure, Peter. I'm glad to do it, and I hope folks are enjoying this out there in Radio Land, and I'm enjoying doing it.
Well, let's do a little lightning round if we can. And I understand from having interviewed the select few people who've done sessions in numbers too vast to remember. So I understand if you've forgotten. Larry Nechtel, I had to tell him he played with the Doors on their first album. He goes, I have no recollection of that whatsoever, but they tell me it's true. I said, well, nothing about the session, about Jim Morrison? I don't know. Have no idea. I said, thanks, Larry. We got an hour to fill here. But if you can remember any tracks, I mean, Nancy Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the leader on that session, and the producer of it was
Lee Hazelwood.
Lee Hazelwood. And he said, okay, I want you guys to play the same thing you'd play with any other dumb chick that came through here. Don't be intimidated because she's Frank's daughter. And we said, okay.
Yeah, forget the guys with those AK-47s outside.
Never mind that. Just play what you play for any dumb country chick. I said, well, let's figure out an intro in a minute. In the meantime, just go dum 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 dum. And no, I don't do that, man. That sounds dum 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 dum. So I started to understand why it was that I called Grady Martin and Ray Edent and everybody, and they said, "No, I'm not going to work for Lee Hazelwood." Begin to dawn on me that he was not a fun guy to work for. But we got through it, and we cut her some good records. But it was kind of like pulling teeth.
I got some troubles, but they won't last. I'm gonna lay right down here in the grass, and pretty soon all my troubles will pass. 'Cause I'm in sugar town. I never had a dog that liked me some. Never had a friend or wanted one. So I just lay back and laugh at the sun. 'Cause I'm in sugar town. Yesterday it rained in Tennessee. I heard it also rained in Tallahassee. But not a drop fell on little old me. 'Cause I was in
So it wasn't exactly Sugartown.
No, it was not. He said, "All right, Nashville, show me what you got. And I'm not going to work for him anymore either." So, you know. Oh, God.
Sugar town.
The Monkees.
The Monkees, that was a fun session. That was Mike Nesmith at RCAA. It was, he said, I got to work on a lyric. You guys just sort of, you know, hang out a minute. And we all had on earphones. And I said, you know, somebody play something. So David Briggs started playing Lady Madonna, da 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 da. And we had banjos and fiddles and steels and stuff. And all of a sudden it started sounding pretty good. And I said, man, we got to cut an album like this. How many of you guys are in? And a bunch of them said, yeah, me, Norma Putnam, David Briggs. And that was the beginning of the Area Code 615.
Area Code 615, like the Casuals and the Escorts many years before, became kind of the musicians' group.
Yeah, we got more critical acclaim within the music business than we got in record sales. As a matter of fact, the second Area Code album, called Trip in the Country, was nominated for Best Instrumental Group of the Year, along with Ferrante and Teicher, Henry Mancini, Boots Randolph, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and Area Code. Blood, Sweat, and Tears won. And we were nominated with Henry Mancini, so that's not a bad deal.
And they won for Spinning Wheel, didn't they?
Yeah, that's a vocal, but we're not going to quibble.
Yeah, that's not an instrumental. What are they talking about? All right, we're talking with Wayne Moss. And this, in case you haven't heard it, and too many people haven't, this is Area Code 615, a super group of session men, the A-list guys, from back when in Nashville. And this is right during hippie time, so you'll see that things were not all that straight in Nashville. The music here is killer. We'll be back to talk some more. We are back. Area code 615, and provided to us in large part by their guitar player, Wayne Moss, who sits with us here today on WXNA. We're grateful for that. You were on so many records. Chet Atkins was your kind of guide in the beginning, but you ended up writing a couple of songs for people that made the charts as well.
Yes, I did. I wrote a song called If There Were Only Time for Love. It was cut 26 times and by the Oak Ridge Boys and Mac Davis and Charlie McCoy and a lot of folks. Dogwood and Danny Gaither. Barefoot Jerry had the original record, and we're real proud of that, and it makes for nice mailbox money, too.
If all you had to do each day was wake up and go out to play and shake the hand of all the world, especially every boy and girl. And if the only tears you shed were tears of joy upon your bed that made the seeds of your love grow to flowers for the world to know. If the world would do the same, life could have a brand new name, the one we've all been dreaming of. If there were only time for love. You're facing now would vanish into air somehow. There'd be no one to bring you home. You'd walk together arm in arm, and peace would reign across the earth, and Eve could have her Adam's worth, and every man would have a smile, ladies' kisses last a while, and we could take each other's hand and be the other's biggest fan, and sing a song about a dove. If there were only time for love. Jesus lived and died so we would not be crucified. And all we really have to do is you love me and I love you. And if he should return someday and pass your door along his way, and come in and sit down a while, see the beauty in your smile. Think how very proud you'd be if love is all there was to see. Just like his father's house above, where there is only time for love.
That's Barefoot Jerry, right here on WXNA LP FM 101.5 in Nashville and WXNAFM.org. Wow, that's one of the best harmony records I've ever heard recorded in Nashville. That's intricate in a Pet Sounds kind of way. This is Peter Rodman here with you going off. Today's guest is Wayne Moss, and we'll get back to our interview shortly. If I sound a little nasally, I've been hacking and sneezing and all kinds of stuff during the music. I apologize. I don't know if it's just getting older or if it's a particularly bad week for hay fever in Nashville. Maybe you can tell me if you're having the same trouble. Just give us a call down here if you feel like it. Support for WXNA is provided by Clausen's Pub and Deli, located in Wedgwood, Houston. Clausen's serves sandwiches, sides, salads, and beers in cold six-packs, growler fills, and singles. They're now offering call-ahead, pay-ahead ordering, and Clausen's also supports Nashvillians in need with their hashtag BringChangeNashville. It's a great initiative. More at clausenspub.com. Oh, and this is a good show. I want to tell you about a delicious musical gumbo of Cajun and Zydeco tunes. Join DJ Cajun Mitch for Sounds of the Bayou on Saturdays from 6 to 7 p.m. only on WXNA 101.5 FM or online at WXNAFM.org. If you're looking to build awareness for your local business, band, event, or service, you can do that and support the station you love by becoming a WXNA underwriter. We can help you reach Nashville's motivated, culturally engaged audience, and you'll feel good about supporting Nashville's all-volunteer, nonprofit community radio station. That's us, WXNA. To learn more, email us at radio@WXNAFM.org. Well, earlier, Wayne and I were talking about a session he did with Mike Nesmith, where Mike came out from California and recorded a few country-flavored songs, which were really Monkees records. Now, this happened a lot because very often that prefab four, as they're now known, were not all in the studio at all. There'd be one of them, maybe two. And then out in L.A., the Wrecking Crew, and here in town, what's now become known as the Nashville Cats. And this is the song. We got so embroiled in the conversation, I forgot to play it. But this is the song we were referring to that Mike Nesmith was recording when Area Code 615 was born. And yes, that's Wayne Moss on guitar. The Monkees on WXNA.
Song and no one listens. I need help, I'm falling again. Play the drum a little louder. Tell me I can live without her if I only listen to the band. Listen to
Weren't they good? They made me happy. I think I can make it alone. Oh, mercy, woman, plays a song and no one listens. I need help, I'm falling again. Play the drum a little bit louder. Tell them they can live without her if they only listen to the band. Listen to the band. Now, weren't they good? They made me happy. I think I can make it alone. Oh, woman plays a song and no one listens. I need help, I'm falling again. Come on, play the drums just a little bit louder. Tell us we can live without her now that we have listened to the band.
That's the Monkees featuring Wayne Moss on guitar and led by Mike Nesmith on a session that took place right here in Nashville. Peter Rodman here with you on WXNA LP 101.5 FM in Nashville. And we're going off this and every Monday morning from 10 to 11 o'clock. So glad to have you along with us. And especially today, we've got Wayne Moss here. It's the only the second time we've ever had a two-part interview. The first was last summer with Writers in the Round, and by that I mean magazine and newspaper writers, and that was a great thing. It was fun. But this too, I tell you, it's right up there. Now, Barefoot Jerry was in similar fashion to the way the Casuals morphed into the Escorts. Area code 615 kind of morphed into Barefoot Jerry, didn't it?
Yeah, the area code people had fella come down from New York and said, how many days a year do you guys want to work? And in unison, we all said none. And so he said, okay, these guys aren't going to amount to anything. Went back to New York and told Polydor to drop us.
And when he said work, he meant tour.
Right. And so being as we were doing things like being a musical director at Hee Haw, that's what McCoy was doing. Norbert Putman was producing Margaritaville and making tons of money. We didn't particularly want to get out and plug a record for peanuts. So we elected not to do that. So they dropped us. We then morphed into Barefoot Jerry, like you said. And I said, how many of you guys want to carry on this thing? And McCoy and Matt Gayden and Kenneth Buttry said, sure. So the four of us, we had to get a piano player. David Briggs didn't want to do it, and so we got John Harris to play piano.
David was off with Elvis at that time, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, like I said, they were making tons of money and didn't particularly want to promote records, and that's what record companies want you to do.
Well, isn't session work in its own way a bit easier than getting out on the road like that? Because, after all, your phone still rings constantly, and the traffic in and out of your studio is nonstop. I mean, just last week, Steve Miller was in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're working with the top names, and they're just in and out. You've got John Macy with some steel guitar players.
Yeah, he's coming in to do a Sweethearts of the Rodeo instrumental album with Lloyd Green and some Nashville heavyweights. It's a lot easier to have the world come to you than it is to go out and hit these towns one at a time. Studio work is a whole lot more fun. You know, you do a session and 3 hours later it's over and you can go fishing or whatever you want to do.
Well, we are talking with Wayne Moss this morning on WXNA LP Nashville, 101.5 FM. Peter Rodman here with you, going off until 11 o'clock. Our guest is Wayne Moss, and he is a guitar player who's played with really everybody. I mean, Larry Gatlin, the Oak Ridge Boys, Jerry Lee Lewis. When and what was that like?
Lord, I don't even know. There's so many sessions that I did. For instance, I was cutting a session one day with some lady behind a baffle over there. I didn't know who it was. And we were cutting I'll Sail My Ship Alone. And so I signed a card, and it made me money, and come to find out, was Patsy Cline. That was the last session she ever did. The last song she ever recorded. 30 days later, she was dead.
We've been sweethearts. hearts for so long, but now you say we're through. The love we shared is now a memory. I have built a ship of dreams and planned them all for you, but now I guess what is to be.
Wow, that's amazing. How did that make you feel? And I don't mean in terms of grieving for Patsy even, but I mean the irony of it and just the way the cards shuffle, and it came up that you're on that last session.
Yeah, that was the only one I ever did with Patsy, and I didn't realize I was even on it until somebody sent me a copy of the contract, and I said, well, that was who that was singing. But, you know, we didn't, like I said, it was before earphones or anything, so we were just, we could hear each other, and we could hear enough vocal to know that we were all in the same ballpark. But it wasn't like she came around and shook everybody's hand or anything, because I didn't even know who we recorded.
Now I gave a message to the wind to take back home to you, hoping you would hear my SOS. I thought that you would come back home, my darling, if you knew how much my aching heart was in distress. Well, I'll sail my ship alone with all the dreams I own, drifting out across the ocean blue. Yes, I have sailed my ship alone, though all the sails you've torn. And when it starts to sink in, I'll blame you.
Did that happen a lot, where you kind of went in and almost like a machine churned them out?
Oh, yes, it happened a lot. And before phones and before cameras and stuff, we weren't able to see everybody in the studio because we were all isolated behind baffles.
Now, Wayne Moss, you were not just on Patsy Cline's last recording. You were on, I think, Dolly Parton's first recording. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was, she was on Monument Records, and Fred Foster was cutting something that sounded like Aretha Franklin on her, and she was just singing her brains out, and she would get through a cut, and she'd say, is that all right in the control room? Does that sound okay to Ewens?
I'd like to thank you, by the way, Wayne, for singing her brains out. I'm just glad you...
Anyway, Fred Foster said, honey, your demeanor and your voice don't match each other. You're either going to have to go to charm school or sing country. Now, what's it going to be? And so she ended up with Porter Wagner, and I was on a lot of those sessions with Pecota Many Colors, and I Will Always Love You and stuff. Jolene, she was a joy to work with.
She is a joy to do anything with, to talk to, and everything else. We're talking with session guitarist and producer extraordinaire Wayne Moss right here on WXNALP 101.5 FM. Nashville this morning. Peter Rodman here, going off with you until 11 o'clock, at which time Hello Hooray begins with Ariel Bowie. And so stay tuned. We've got lots and lots of great stuff here. It's a volunteer station. We need your support. So if you happen by WXNAFM.org, hit the donate button and tell your friends to hit the listen button as well. Here is Dolly Parton on WXNA. We'll be back to talk some more.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. Beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. You could have your choice of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
Dolly Parton on WXNA LP 101.5 FM in Nashville. Peter Rodman here with you, going off until 11 o'clock. And with us this morning is Wayne Moss, the guitar player on that record and on every record we're playing and producing. He's done so many things. He owns Cinderella Studios in town, and he's kindly allowed us to play music from Barefoot Jerry. And you can go to barefootjerry.com to find that rare music if you like. Meanwhile, I have another question for you, because this is interesting. One thing I've noticed about you, because looking at films and tape from the old days up to now, same thing I've noticed applies to very, very few people. It's almost freakish. I don't mean to criticize you physically, but George Harrison had it. Eric Clapton has it. I think Chuck Berry kind of had it. Is that you have very extraordinarily long, slender fingers. Does that help a guitar player quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, and guitar players and plumbers.
Chet was right.
I don't know if that was what he had in mind or not, but I think he was tired of putting up with my mom. Yeah, there's a lot of tall, skinny guitar players. Al Kupper wanted me to play that. I just did that lick on a rundown, and he said, "Can you do that every time going into the chorus?" So I said, "Sure." So I did, and he was amazed. And I don't know why he was amazed, but he seemed to think that folks in New York didn't play a whole lot of 16th notes.
Well, and it was pretty much of a hammer, so it was easier than it sounded, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that hard, but it sounds hard, you know.
It does. It sounds, and plus it's so cool, right, where it got put in. That's what a session guy does.
Well, it was a pleasure doing it, and I got fired off of the Nashville Skyline sessions because I think it was, I don't know, Sad Eye Lady or one of those that took forever to record, or for him to get in the mood to record. I got out my gut string and started writing my own song, and I think it ticked Dylan off, and he says, I don't believe we're going to need Moss on this Skyline album, so have him sign the card and go home. So I did, but you know, it's hard to drink that much coffee and be ready to play, and somebody saying, "Well, I got to work on lyrics."
And it's already 8 in the morning. You've been there all night.
Yeah, so.
What's the name of this, Bob?
Where are you tonight, Sweet Marie?
Rolling on one.
Now the railroad gate, I just can't jump it. Sometimes it gets so hard for me, see. And a captain, they're beating on his trumpet. He now has got the memories you left for me. But where are you tonight, sweet Marie?
some other place to be. Now, where are you tonight, sweet Marie? Well, anybody can be just like me, obviously. But hardly many can be like you, fortunately. Well, I have six white horses.
Give his address out to Bad Company. That's another band name. In addition to Cowboy Mouth and Judas Priest, how many Dylan phrases have ended up to be band names? I can't count them. Well, Wednesday, April 19th is WXNA night at K-Bob's Grill and Ale from 5 to 11 p.m. 15% of all sales will be donated to WXNA. K-Bob's serves flatbread sandwiches, grilled platters, and 25 varieties of craft beer on tap, including Yazoo. K-Bob's Grill and Ale is located at 1602 21st Avenue South, and you can find out more at kbobs.us. Well, we are having a blast here talking with Wayne Moss, and it's our second of two parts. Because we couldn't fit it all in last week's show. So I hope you're enjoying this ride as much as I am.
Hello there, this is Michael Snow, and you're listening to Peter Rodman Goes Off on WXNA LP 101.5 FM, Nashville.
Linda Ronstadt came along during the Area Code 615 years. We're talking with Wayne Moss here, the guitar player for Area Code, as well as for Linda and Dylan and Waylon Jennings and so many others. But how did that first come about? What are your recollections of the young Linda Ronstadt and recording that Silk Purse album?
Well, it was quite an experience. She sang all of her vocals from our bathroom.
Right here in town in Cinderella Studios?
Yes. The Silk Purse album was done here. But we backed Linda up at the Fillmore West, which is one of the two performances that Area Code 615 did, of Fillmore West and the Johnny Cash TV show. And she did that one as well. And she was quite a character, and she was rather fond of our drummer.
Kenny Buttrey.
Kenny Buttrey, and so that
character in what ways, though?
Well, she was I don't know how to put this, but she was enamored by him, and they spent a lot of time together, and were quite chummy in the studio during the recording of Silk Purse. I think maybe one of the first big records she had.
It's interesting that. That was sung in your bathroom.
Yes.
I mean, so you have to make sure that you don't have a leaky toilet at all times.
That's right. And
which, with the plumbing thing, would have come in handy once again.
Because I done everything I know to try and make you mine. I think I'm gonna love you.
Farron Young, you worked with. What was that like? Now he's disappeared into the ether, as in legend land, as I like to call it.
Yeah, Farron. He had a radio show sponsored by Pearl Beer, and he would have Merle Kilgore and Louvin Brothers, whoever, come in and be on his radio show that we recorded at Cinderella. And when Farron would mess up, which he did occasionally, or somebody else did, he'd come out with a four-letter word, and we'd have to edit that out of a two-track tape.
This is back when that would have definitely not been an asset.
That's true. So, and anyway, I have a reel of outtakes of that'll never see the light of day.
Wait, no, I'm begging you.
It's pretty nasty stuff.
I'm the center of attention in this barroom, 'cause I've got the biggest heartache of the year. And each night those swinging doors reach out for me and draw me in. I'll say no each night that I'll come back to wind me up again. Wind me up, turn me on, and watch me cry for you. Lately drinking warm red wine is all I wanna do. And I never know how tight I'll wind me up till I walk in. But I don't care, 'cause I'll be wind me up again.
It was a fun time with Farron, and Neil Wilburn was the engineer at that time.
And this was at your studio?
Oh, yes. He Neil went on to work at Columbia and worked with Dylan, as a matter of fact.
Can I ask you this? I have friends who've had home studios back that far in time. I'm not going to name them, but there were lots of trouble for some of you with home studios back then because, A, unions were all over them, and as they should be, because I'm very pro-union. But at the same time, the big corporate studios on Music Row had a lot more money and clout to where they could be intimidating to the little guy. Now, that evolved, and later on you had County Q and all the Berry Hill stuff, and now everyone in the entire town is required to have their own home studio. But back then, it wasn't so. I'm wondering, did you have any bumps in the road politically about recording in a home just outside of town?
Yeah, there was, there was always the problem of a neighbor saying that music keeps me awake all night. So I just proceeded to buy all the property around me and eliminated that problem.
But what about the politics of, say, Columbia and RCA, and suddenly they hear that one of their artists, Farron Young, is walking up to Madison and he's in some guy's bathroom singing vocals when they could be scooping up that end of the money too.
Yeah, well, there's two sides of that same coin. There's been times at RCA and stuff when I was there that Gray Line Tours would come through and say, is that Eddie Arnold in there? I want to get his autograph.
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away.
So people like Steve Miller don't want to put up with that, so they can sneak into Cinderella, cut an album, and be out of town before anybody knows they were even here. Same thing with Lynn Ronstadt. And so there's pros and cons about being not being in the phone book and all that.
Now, you, Wayne Moss, were actually briefly a member of the Steve Miller Band. Am I wrong?
Well, I played on Going to the Country, Going Right Away, and some of that that he did here. But
I mean, because the album's called Steve Miller Band, number 5. And so I'm assuming if you were in the band.
I was part of the 5. Well, that's like being part of the Monkees, you know. I didn't really do the TV show, but I played on the, listened to the band.
Peter Rodman here talking with Wayne Moss on WXNA, and he's the guitar player and producer and engineer and studio owner on so many of these things. I'm not going to sort it out right now for you, But you can go to his website. You do have one.
Yeah, barefootjerry.com, and all the Barefoot things and the area code CDs are for sale there, along with my new book.
What's the book called?
It's called Nashville Cat, The Wayne Moss Story.
Wow, I'm going to have to read that one. And you actually, it's interesting. A lot of times people in Europe or Japan or Sweden, almost at random, Amsterdam, just know our music better than we do. And while Area Code and Barefoot Jerry were mondo obscuro here in the States, in England, a show called The Old Grey Whistle Test picked up one of your tracks with, I believe it was it Area Code?
Yeah, Area Code 615 of Stone Fox Chase.
They picked up that track and made it the theme song for the hippest musical show in Europe. It still is some of the best footage you'll find of anybody, Tim Buckley, Elton John, whoever.
Yeah, it's kind of the British equivalent of American Bandstand. And when it was their theme for 8 years.
A show called The Old Grey Whistle Test. Much cooler show than Bandstand, although Bandstand was pretty cool in the old days.
I did that too. I did it with Brenda Lee.
And we're talking with Wayne Moss. You know, some of these titles from these Area Code 615 and Barefoot Jerry songs, Hiroshima Hole.
Yeah, that's about the nuclear power plant they were trying to build in Hartsville, Tennessee, and that's the headwaters of our drinking water, and I wasn't nuts about that, so I wrote this song about it. And if you go to barefootjerry.com, you can click on a video of the Fukushima plant blowing up and spreading nuclear waste everywhere, and it's not a good thing. And so that song's about not about going solar instead of nuclear power.
I'm just pleased to see any of the original musicians in town, you know, from the day back when I assumed everybody was just a far right wing conservative. I'm pleased to see anybody with a social conscience, and I don't mean to be prejudicial towards people I have not met, but that was my impression as a New Yorker, as a kid, was that, you know, I wasn't exactly wrong about Ray Stevens or some of these other guys, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's there's another song called Token Ticket on here that's about marijuana reform, and it's getting a little closer each day. They're
How'd that go over back then with your Nashville cohorts?
It didn't go over as well then as it's going over now, but there's, I think, 28 states or something where it's legal now. But mostly I like to see it available for cancer patients and stuff.
And it's an incredible pain reliever, and why not let people have a pleasant experience if they're having nothing but unpleasant experiences?
Right, and it's not, it's might be a crime, but it's a victimless crime, and it's just, you know, it's hard for me to understand why it's not available for people who are in pain or post-traumatic stress syndrome, or God knows, you know, there's a million things that it helps, and I think we're the last country in the world that's not making it universal available for people.
The only trouble is if they legalize it, we're going to need to go back to 35 millimeter film, because we need the film canisters to hold it in.
That's right. But you know, it occurs to me that if it was a gateway drug, as we were told, that maybe it would be a good gateway drug off of opiates. So that seems to be our problem now. And I think everybody skipped over the marijuana part and went straight to heroin. So,
you know, I have never heard that said in that way, and that makes more sense than, I mean, because here are housewives in Maine, you know, addicted because some doctor overprescribed Percocet, and now they're suddenly out on the street getting heroin, and
that's right.
Nobody knows it. but it's a dirty little secret.
Percocets, so yeah. You know, it's easier to just get heroin than it is to do OxyContin.
Right. Wow, that's a now. I didn't ask you this before, but I'm going to ask it now because, if I may, how old are you, Wayne Moss?
I'm 79 years old.
And how many other 79-year-olds do you meet with as progressive a view as you have?
Quite a few. You'd be surprised.
Well, that is encouraging. And believe me, today we need encouragement. Now, one thing I noticed after Trump was elected was that I started to get super depressed. And the reason was I thought to myself, oh, no, if he goes 8 years, I may not. This could be it. This could be the last president and all hope could be lost. Do you think that sometimes, that this might be the last president you see? And damn it, how could we end up here?
I don't know. I'm going to live to be 100, so I plan to see more presidents, but I do miss Obama.
Yeah, me too. He was great. Well, thank you, Wayne Moss, again, for indulging my irrelevant questions.
My pleasure.
Well, Peter Rodman here, going off again until next Monday morning at 10. Stay tuned for Ariel Bowie and Hello Hooray. In the meantime, thank you so much, Wayne Moss, for one of my favorite interviews ever. And here's yet another track that you wouldn't believe Wayne Moss played guitar on. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening.
A winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island. I built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island. Don't talk of love. The slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. In my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island